They took these chevra and they said, we want to pay you money to play Tetris all day. For 3 days straight, many, many hours, playing Tetris. Great study, right? Afterwards, they measured these people. And what happened? For days, sometimes weeks after the study, in these people's dreams, what were they thinking of?
Tetris.
Blocks of Tetris. Even when they were alive, they looked at the skyscrapers and what did they start thinking?
Tetris.
Oh, if I move this building like this way and that way, it would fit in the literally what they were dreaming of. Yeah? Okay, so you've demonstrated it. Why is Tetris extremely important to our service of God and to our life in general? Because what does Tetris teach us in this study? Sorry?
How to reposition things out of a bad situation.
That's also true. Very simply, guys, what we put into our brain is the way we're going to see the world. Guys, be with me, because my time's short. If I choose to surround myself with a Tetris way of life, I will see the world in a Tetris way of life. If I choose to look for God and Torah and mitzvahs, I'm going to see the world in a Torah and mitzvahs type way. If I choose to see the world without God in it, that's the world that I'm going to see. I choose if I'm going to be a positive person or if I'm going to be a negative person. And we literally can change our brains. This used to be a myth, but modern science is showing more and more how we totally can change our brains if we choose at any age. And I'll give you just a few more studies. Cabbies. Anybody here ever been to England?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I haven't, so you'll tell me. Apparently, it's very windy and in the city, very hard to figure out from one place to another. Okay, whatever, there's a lot of places like this. Cabbies there, they did a study and they showed taxis. They studied their brains. And what they found is that the part of the brain, the hippocampi, which is related to spatial, to seeing things, was far bigger than regular people's brain. Why was it much bigger, that part of the brain?
Because they'd exercise.
Because they were constantly exercising in order to figure out how to go from place A to place B. They needed to use that part of the brain, so their brain actually got bigger and stronger. It was like a muscle. You build it, it gets stronger. Okay? Similarly, for a blind person who uses an index finger to feel, and that tells him many things, when they measured him up to an MRI machine, his whole brain exploded like a halogen. Right? Like halogen. Halogen. But with regular people, nothing. Right? So we change our brain based on how much we exercise it. We can get it stronger. Another great example, the 4-minute mile. Maybe you've heard of this? In the 50s, everyone, all the scientists thought it's impossible to run a 4-minute mile. And then what happened? Roger Bannister, 3 minutes and 59 seconds. What happened the very next year? Everybody's breaking the rule. It was all in our head. We had these limiting beliefs. Once we change our beliefs, we change our physical reality.
Really? A lot of people break it
after. Tons of people. Now it's pretty normal. Thousands of people break it.
Well, not everyone.
Well, not. Yeah, you got it. You got to be in shape. But
do you believe in me?
I believe in miracles. Okay, what's the point? I'm getting to the point. I'm getting to the point. The point is, my friends, that we used to think our brain was like a machine and like it just like tells us. Now what we realize is our brain is more like a filter, because at any moment there's way too much stuff going on for our brain to process everything. Like, think about it. Right now, how much is going on in this room?
A lot.
There's 10 people. There's drinks. There's machines. There's a phone.
There's chairs.
There's sounds in the...
So many books.
There's tons going on. If I'm trying to listen to me, to Rav Keith, give a share, it's going to be impossible if my brain's processing everything, right?
Yeah.
So what does my brain need to... Guys, it's really hard. My voice is killing me. So, guys, the little convos. Heart are killing. Yeah?
Our brain filters everything out.
Brain filters everything out so we can focus on what we need to focus
sound
on.
Sound waves leaving your mind.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know that cool thing that if you're at a party and talking to someone and it's like really loud so your brain counts out all the noise. But if you hear your name, you're like, you'll suddenly hear it.
Immediately. Right? Your brain's genius. Right? So one of my best friends would always tell me, bees look for honey, flies look for dirt. Be a bee. There's always honey, there's always dirt. Look for the honey in life. Okay? So what I'm trying to demonstrate to you guys scientifically is that if we choose to program our brain to look for the positivity, to look for the good in life, we actually can change it like a muscle. And they've actually done this study and shown how for months afterward, you can increase your well-being and even help your immune system to get sick less simply by doing these exercises, which train your brain to be happier and to look at life in a different type of way. Okay? So now, everybody convinced? I think we did a pretty good job. Okay? Now, like always, I don't want to just leave it in the abstract, because that... You guys have heard a million inspiring speeches and TED Talks in your life. You don't need another one of those. What you need is to get into your long-term memory by doing something, and also by thinking about this in terms of teaching it to someone else, because that's what will actually get into your long-term memory. So I've got some pens, and I think I have some paper. And what I'm going to ask you guys to do is journal and do what's called gratitude journaling. Okay? What I'm going to ask you to do is gratitude specifically about some adversity, some hard thing that happened in your life at some point, and just write about how there's actually gamzu letova, nachmish gamzu, there's actually something good that happened or that came out of that experience, okay? Because journaling actually brings it out of our brain, and the more deeply you go into that process of journaling, and the more it actually registers in your brain. And many, many, many studies have shown that by journaling about what you're grateful for in your life, if you do it consistently, your brain will actually start scanning the world for good. Because you're always thinking, what's good? What's in my life? And even when you stop doing the gratitude journaling, they did this study, Robert Emmons, for 10 weeks, but 6 months later, your brain still was trained to look for the good in life. If you start actually, in a deep type of way, processing gratitude journaling, and then your brain will actually stop looking for the negative in life, like the Meraglim, and start looking for the positive in life, like Yeshua and Caliph. And afterwards, what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you guys as a follow-up to actually continue doing this every single day. And those who take it seriously, it will build a habit, a muscle in their brain. You do it for 21 days in a row, and it will become almost like brushing your teeth. It will become natural. So, Yeah? And it helps? It works? Good. So we have a real-life example. Okay, we need papers. Who here has paper? Okay, we have pens. There you go.